John, if you have the packet in front of you, I will call our meeting to order today on August 19th of 2025. And the first item of business is approving the minutes. If there is no objection, I just think unanimously we can approve the minutes. Is there any objection,
No
John?
objection.
Okay.
Nope, no objection.
Great. The I'm going to try to do this as easy as possible, John, knowing there's just two of us, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the minutes are approved, and Twee, thank you for collecting everything. That they were very helpful. I know there was a lot there to cover, but thank you for doing that. So the minutes are approved. The next item is approving the loan portfolio. We have two loans at a little at a at exactly $1.9 million. We'll just do this normally, John. So I move to approve the loans. Is there?
I'll second.
Thank you. Rich, we'll turn it over to you to walk us through the two loans we're reviewing today.
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, you're right. We do have two loans. The loan number one is to the town of Buffalo in Marquette County for some road work. I do think that this is a reimbursable project, and so we should expect some of this loan at least to be paid down within the next few years. And then the Village of Fall Creek, I was happy to see that they are asking for a loan to finance construction of a municipal library in Village Center. And so not only do we support public school libraries, but sometimes we provide the funding for municipal libraries also. And that's all I have for today. Does anybody have any questions?
No, I'm glad to see this loan come through, Rich, because I remember talking to the city of Fall Creek a few months ago about it. So that's great.
Yeah, Fall Creek has been a really great customer of BCPL for several years now. So I was happy to see that come through also.
Thank you. John, any questions about the loans?
Nope. There's only two. No questions.
Good. All those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
The loans are approved, and we are moving on to old business, which is working through our county fines and forfeitures with Milwaukee and the budget. So, Tom, I'm just going to turn it over to you. When we last talked, I think part of what you were going to share with us is the options that were available and how we can do our best to address this in a timely manner.
Thank you, Sarah. I'd like to start out by framing the situation. It's about, if you look at how do we get to this point, everybody knows that the budget was passed in early July and it was put together at a breakneck speed in that last week of June and early July. But the legislature and the governor had both denied BCPL's request to move our budget appropriation back to program revenue out of concern about the constitutionality of such a move, based upon, my opinion, a questionable interpretation of a 1916 Wisconsin Supreme Court case. However, the legislature and the governor both agreed to a budget provision that allowed Milwaukee County to retain 100% of traffic fines and forfeitures to be used to hire more assistant district attorneys. This provision appears to directly violate a 1973 Wisconsin Supreme Court opinion regarding Article 10 of the Constitution and the legislature's authority to define clear proceeds. That opinion expressly limited the legislature's authority to define clear proceeds in order to prevent only a nominal amount of fines and forfeitures going to the school fund. Zero is less than nominal. Furthermore, the budget amendment provided Milwaukee County with additional funding for new positions, another sideboard set by the Supreme Court that the budget amendment crossed. So the question became, well, where do we go from here? So I'm an attorney. The state treasurer is an attorney, and so is the attorney general, obviously. But one of the things that we had talked about a little bit was, okay, maybe we need to have another view of this. And so I had a conversation last week with the Ledge Council attorney that wrote the recent opinion on BCPL being funded with program revenue. And after that conversation, she understood where we were coming from, and she said she would review the situation and get back to me this week with her opinion of the situation, but she thought it would be later this week because of the fact she was taking a couple days off. So if Ledge Council comes back with an opinion that this is wrong, all of a sudden it's not just Tom's opinion or John's opinion. Now it's Legislative Council saying it as well. One of the things that the AG had raised is, well, how do, if there's a potential for litigation, how do we do this in terms of discussing it? And the fact is, in Wisconsin, we have the open meetings law, which generally requires meeting of public officials to be held in a manner open to the public. But the law does have certain exceptions, which allow public officials to go into closed session. And section 19.85 sub 1 sub g provides the exception for conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who's rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. That's the clause that's most pertinent to where we are now. So we didn't notice this public meeting to have a closed session, but it's possible for the board to move from open to closed session for this reason. Even if the closed session is not listed in the public notice for the meeting, however, the ability to move back into open session after a closed session gets trickier if the closed session is not noted on the public notice. So what you would do in a best case scenario is you would list a closed session on the agenda, and the next item on the agenda would say return to open session. So it would seem to me that our best way of handling this going forward would be for the next meeting to have such a session on the agenda for a closed session. It would also be best if we did that as an in-person meeting. It's possible to do it, a closed session on a telephonic meeting, but it gets more complicated. So in any event, that is what I'm recommending at this point so that we can have that more robust discussion in a closed session. Sarah, did you have more questions about that?
No, that makes sense to me. And we did talk about getting together in person. And so while we originally talked about it for more of a maybe annual meeting or reviewing all the great work that the BCPL has done, I do think trying to get all three of us scheduled in the next 2 weeks is a priority. And so, John, unless you have any objection, let's move forward in planning our upcoming board meeting in person, knowing that I think the 2 o'clock time in 2 weeks can work, but we might just have to be flexible.
I mean, that works for me.
That is the Tuesday after Labor Day. That's the only thing I would point out, that if anyone was planning an extended Labor Day vacation, that may be an issue. Otherwise, yeah, I think it should work.
Okay. Yeah, let's just wait for what Twee comes up with. If Tuesday in person doesn't work, we can find something. So. Okay. Anything else on that, Tom?
We had tried to get a little bit more information on where the $2.2 million number came from, and I still haven't gotten anything on our end, but we're continuing to try to dig at that number. So.
Okay. Okay. And then I think, John, I know that you have maybe had conversations and seen if there is a potential negotiation that we can reach, but I do believe all of this relates to the strategy, potentially with litigation. So I think it makes sense to hold off until the next meeting.
Sure. I hadn't done any more until we talked about it yet. So that's okay. So nothing new.
Okay.
One quick question for the commissioners. Are you okay with the way that I framed the issue at the beginning with how we got to this point in the budget?
Yeah. I mean, I guess my question for you, Tom, is that is us moving to PR revenue a it's part of the bigger picture, but it's not necessarily directly related to the budget action that was taken from Milwaukee County.
No, the reason why I brought it up is because of the state treasurer's proposal to resolve this issue. If you have a situation that's clearly wrong and a solution that gives some people a little bit of discomfort, well, a little discomfort is far better than going the path of the completely wrong, at least in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, to me, I think it's just always making sure that we stay focused on what happened and then share, here's a solution, and we believe that it's the best move because it doesn't violate X, and you know, but
yep.
Yeah, because the overall, I mean, what the action that they took in the budget by giving Milwaukee County 100% of their forfeiture assets, the clear, like, I mean, it's not questionable. And if you're getting that confirmation from Ledge Council, I just feel like that's also a very good starting point.
Yeah.
Like, we got to do, like, this is clear violation. And as a result, we got to do something about it.
That's why I picked up the phone.
Right. Well, thank you for reaching out to Ledge Council as we are working through this. Are there any other developments, Tom, since the last time we talked on this?
No, the biggest development, like I said, was my conversation with Ledge Council.
Yeah.
So I was encouraged by the conversation, but until I get the next phase of it, I'm not celebrating. So.
Right. No, that makes sense. Yep. John, any questions for Tom?
Oops, sorry, I was muted. No other questions.
Well, thank you, Tom. And I know we all look forward to talking about this in person at our next board meeting.
Cool.
So we have no new business, but we do have some routine business. And Rich, I don't know if you have anything to share with us for your Chief Information Officer's report.
Not today, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah. Tom, turning the floor back over to you. Anything for your executive secretary's report?
Just a couple items. First of all, thank you to both of you for signing off on that deed. We were able to close that transaction, which added close to $400,000 to the land bank for us to acquire additional land assets. The Northern office staff have been looking at selling carbon credits again. And we had come close to selling them before, but unfortunately, when we got the proposal, it had all kinds of restrictions on it that would have prevented us from disclosing how much we made, how much we were paying the entity that was actually selling the credits for us. And as a government entity, to have those kind of restrictions just were running too far afoul of the public records law in Wisconsin. Furthermore, the restrictions would have made it very difficult for us to engage in any land transactions after signing up for that program. However, things have changed a bit since then, and there are other entities now engaged in that sector. And as we look at it again, there's a very real possibility that we'd be able to generate upwards of $800,000 a year in revenue from selling carbon credits.
Hmm.
It is important to keep in mind that the more land that you put into the carbon credit program, yeah, the more money you'll make, but it will restrict the hand of future boards and future staffs and their ability to sell lands. So it's really important to evaluate which lands you want to put into the program and which lands you want to leave out. Now, it is still possible to sell lands that you have enrolled in the program because you do have a certain amount of buffer in there that would allow you to cover those lands coming out. But if there are sizable transactions contemplated, that's a problem. So we've made a lot of progress with our land banking. If you think about where we started, less than 40% of BCPL lands were open to the public. Now that number is well in excess of 60%. So we've moved the needle, but there's still a ways to go. And like I said, once you make the decision to go into carbon credits, it does restrict the ability in the future to engage in land transactions. The thing that makes the carbon credit program attractive is there are some lands that no matter how hard we try, it may be difficult to sell them. And if we've been at this now for 20 years and we've had some success, and I consider it actually a fair amount of success, but on some of them, it's just difficult. Those lands that are forested, but they may be partially wetlands, and the timber that's on there may be the kind of timber that is not attractive to loggers. It may be hemlock or some species that doesn't have a high dollar value. Well, in a carbon program, you get paid for growing those trees. And so all of a sudden, you're looking at a much higher stream of revenue from lands that up to this point have not produced that stream of revenue. So in any event, we've returned to the analysis, and we're going to take another look at it unless the board feels that we should not. So this is more of a, I'm letting you know this is what we're looking at. If you feel strongly that we should avoid this, please let us know. But I always make sure that I'm talking to the Great Lakes timber producers and other stakeholders in northern Wisconsin to let them know that, we're looking at doing this. And at this point, we haven't heard of any feedback that would lead us to believe that they were against it. Let's put it that way. Because of the fact that we intend to harvest as much timber as we were harvesting before, maybe even a little bit more. But this would just give us another stream of revenue. It may also be possible to stack other credit programs on top of the carbon credit program for wetland mitigation, which would generate even more revenue from some of those lands. Any questions about that?
No, not from my end, Tom. I appreciate how you and the team are always continuing to look for other revenue opportunities. And I know we have, I mean, since I have joined the board in 2019, carbon credits has always been something that we have talked about. I mean, we've spent time at the Tomahawk office really thinking that through. And so I think the more we can move towards this becoming a reality, I think it's a benefit for the fund.
I think so too, or else I wouldn't be spending time on it. So, so at the last meeting, we also talked about Pigeon Lake, and I have reached out to a couple appraisers to provide us quotes on doing a reappraisal or new appraisal, and I expect to get those back very shortly. So,
that's great news. Well, we look forward to the assessment.
That's all I have for today.
Well, thank you, Tom. John, any questions about Tom's report?
No, sounds good.
Okay. Well, I do not have anything to report today. So I'm going to move down to future agenda items. Is there anything we'd like to add to an agenda besides knowing we're going to continue to work through the Milwaukee County fines and forfeitures, and Tom's going to keep us apprised of Pigeon Lake and the carbon credits.
And just to clarify, next meeting will be in person?
Yes.
Yes.
The next okay. meeting will be in person. Yeah.
So, Sarah, this is Rich. I will have my second quarter investment report available by September 2nd, but it sounds like it might be a meeting that is scheduled long already. And so I was wondering if you thought I should deliver that on the 2nd or wait until mid-September.
No, it's a good question, Rich. I do think that if, and I will leave this to you and Tom to talk about, but if it does look like the way this is, there's going to be a lot of conversation on the county fines and forfeitures. I wouldn't want to rush your report. So doing it at the next meeting in September makes sense. But if between now and that meeting, there's a real clear solution and it's going to be pretty buttoned up and easy meeting. And so there is time, but I leave that for both of you based on the information that we can get as Tom is kind of putting everything together for Milwaukee County fines and forfeitures.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks for flagging that. All right, well, seeing there's no future other agenda items, I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor of adjourning our meeting say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
The meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and have a good week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you guys in person next time.